where, as we gather here on this first Sunday of the new year, it's a great honour to have Ray and Sue with us. Give them a cheer. Ray and Sue have walked with us now for, 30 years?
Yeah.
He was a very young man then. Yeah. Only 10. But Ray and Sue have stood by us in challenging times and good times. We're very thankful for their ministry among us. And so can I just ask, can we just stand together? Andrew, come and pray.
Father, we thank you for being in your presence. And Lord, we also thank you for your word. And Father, I want to pray for your anointing on Ray this morning, that our hearts would be soft and open to hear your word. It would bring change to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Nice to be with you. Always is. Always warmth. Love the prophetic. That was a beautiful prophetic word that you brought. I guess some of you go right back to that carpet factory. Who does? Yeah. Carpet factory was a very famous church. So that word that was spoken, greater things to come. Amazing. I'm going to be in Acts chapter 1, going to read just a few verses to you, and then tell you where I'm coming from. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, and the reason why these gospel writers often mention him eating with them is to just say to us, this is a man. There is a man in glory.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because there were some terrible heresies on the way of him only being ghost-like. No. There's a man in glory like you and I representing us. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
It's amazing. One occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. This was a command, not a suggestion. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When I was really seeking God as to what I should minister to you, I kept thinking of a television program that I used to watch many years ago. In fact, I looked it up this morning. It was 1960. And it was called Candid Camera. Do you remember, anybody remember that? Wasn't it amazing? I just couldn't get my mind over it. I thought, what has that got to do with what I'm actually going to preach? And I remembered, basically, there was a camera crew that went around, and they made us look, they proved how gullible the British are. I remember there was one where they were holding up Nelson's column because it was going to collapse. I mean, it's amazing. But my favourite was this. It was seeing a car come down the hill into a garage and then get filled up with petrol. And then they found, having done that, they couldn't start the car. And they got, everybody was tinkering around. And eventually someone come and opened up the bonnet and they found there was no engine in it. And so they're thinking, well, how did it get in here, for goodness sake? And as I was thinking about that, I thought about that Western Christianity can be very like that. That Western Christianity, I've had the privilege of going to many parts of the world where that would not be the case. But for Western Christians, we are blessed, aren't we, with so much. We have so much learning. We have wonderful training. There's Bible colleges. You know, we are spoilt in this area. And I love that. I love study. I do a lot of stuff. I thank God for the Bible College Spurgeon's, you know, where I went to. And, you know, they talk about you being trained and whatever. And I'm a Tom Wright fan. So I've just got his new one on the Holy Spirit. I've nearly finished it while we've been here. So training, learning is wonderful and very necessary. But Jesus is emphatic here. Wait. And I was thinking about that and thinking, well, you could ask the question, why? These guys have just gone through the best Bible college the world has ever known. I was just thinking about it. The road to Emmaus, I think it was about a 7-mile walk, and they didn't know they were walking with Jesus, but he was opening up to those two disciples why the Messiah had to die. And it says their hearts were burning within them. And it occurred to me, the disciples had that every day for 3 years. In addition to that, they, with him, seeing all the miracles and the amazing things that he did, and just who he was. And then he sent them out. I still think they had a pre-Pentecost experience because they went out and healed the sick, cast out demons and what. That blows your mind. I can't explain that, but he was God, of course. So God the Father or God the Spirit, it doesn't really matter. But he gave them his authority and they did it. Yeah. So why do they have, to wait? Training and learning is good, but without God's power, it will result in us being not as effectual as God actually wants us to be. Yeah. I'm not saying with all the learning and the training, you don't accomplish things, but I will accomplish more rather than less. Yeah. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was asked a question about Bill Johnson when I was in South Africa. Somebody said, what do you think about Bill Johnson? I said, well, I don't know the guy, but one of my close friends and one of the guys that I'm his spiritual father, he represents that movement in England. I said, but what I do know about Bill Johnson is that he's a very generous man. When people down the road are criticising him and they in the church down the road and they're short of money, he sends money. Because they're his brethren. I said, I want to hang out with people who believe for more than people who believe for less. In fact, I'm writing a new book called More or Less, which has come out of that. So we want to accomplish all that we can. So Jesus says, wait. Remember when John is writing in the, what we call the Paraclete passages or the, in John 14, 15 and 16. He's writing later than the others and he's writing about the Spirit, which you won't find in the other Gospels. And he, in chapter 14, Jesus saying to the disciples, I'm going. They weren't very happy with that. But he says, unless I go, the other will not come. And when the other comes, you will do the same works that I have been doing. And even greater works. You know, I think a lot. I wonder what the greater works are. I think the greater works are probably going to the nations. Because he never went to the nations. But these disciples are going to the ends of the earth. I think in every generation we should go to the ends of the earth. It's not the end time thing. Because that generation went from Jerusalem and they went all the way to Rome with the gospel. We should be, that should be our thinking. I want to share something about my own testimony. Until 19, I would describe myself as a very happy pagan. I was. I lived for one thing. I lived for sport. I loved tennis. Tennis was the game that I played the best and had some success with that. Success wasn't the issue. I just loved doing it, and I played a lot of sport. And I got a job working for the Prudential Assurance Company. They put me on their legal department. And 5,000 people worked in that office. After office hours, you could do anything you wanted to. Theatre, they had a theatre. They had cinema. They had squash clubs. They had badminton. Oh, it was brilliant. If you'd given me a bed, I would have lived there. So every night I was doing something. And then someone invited me to a union meeting. A friend, I think it was a young secretary, and she invited me to this union meeting. And I thought it was going to be a staff welfare meeting or something like that. And when I got there, I found it was a Christian union meeting. Not that I knew at that moment what that meant, but there was no... I realised I was the only person that had lit a cigarette. So quickly snuffed that out. And they probably bolted the door because I don't think there are too many visitors. But I listened to a lady who was a returning missionary from Africa somewhere. And to me, she looked ancient. She had a sort of flower pot on her head. But she spoke about being intimate with Jesus Christ. Oh, and it just fascinated me. I thought, this is crazy. And the way she spoke, what I can remember, and we're talking over 60 years ago now. Yeah, no, just under 60 years ago. No? Yeah, it's a long time ago. I can remember thinking, she's getting more of a kick out of this guy. She can't hit a ball with him, kick a ball with him, throw a ball with him. She can't sleep with him. She can't go to the cinema or the theatre. All the things that, you know, for me made life buzzing, she couldn't do that with him. And yet she just gave me the impression she was getting more out of this relationship than I was getting out of my life. So what did I do? I went and bought a New Testament. And 6 months later, I was in a meeting in Holborn listening to an evangelist. I just heard God say to me, "You believe in me? Why don't you come on in?" And I'm noisy. I just said, "Count me in, I'm in." Didn't know what it would mean. That was how I came to Christ. Then Sue and I, we'd met. Sue worked for the Pru as well, and in that Christian union, that was in 62 that we met. We married in 65, and we went to a church, an Anglican church, where we were there, involved with the youth mainly. But the influences in those days were this. There was a number of books written. God's Smuggler, Brother Andrew. David Wilkerson, The Cross and the Switchblade. Even made a film, Pat Boone. Okay, Corrie ten Boone. What a beautiful lady. Been with her sister in Ravensbrück, the German prison war camp. But the one thing that was there for each one of them was this testimony of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then there was Michael Harper, of all places, a curate with John Stott, which was not initially a fan of the charismatic movement. But they all attested that they had been empowered by the Holy Spirit to achieve the great things that they were doing. David Wilkerson and the whole, you know, the gangs of New York. And I kept hearing about this baptism of the Spirit. And in 1966, one night, Sue and I got our Bible out, a concordance, and we looked up some verses on the Holy Spirit. And we went to our bedroom and we began to pray. And I had an amazing encounter with Jesus. It lasted for hours. It frightened the life out of me at first. It wasn't all joy at first. I realised I was meeting with Almighty God now. Not someone who I'd said, please come into my life. It frightened the life out of me. And then I was filled with a joy, unspeakable, full of glory. I wanted to get people up. So he said, you can't wake people up at 5 a.m. But if you'd asked me, why has God done that for you and to you? I wouldn't have known. All I knew was I wanted it. Didn't ask the question, what's it for or why? But I was soon to learn. Because that was the Friday night. And we were in our Sunday evening meeting. And our vicar was just getting ready to preach. And I heard that voice that I was beginning to hear. I want you to go now, get up out of your seat, and go and visit Mrs. Balcombe and talk to her about me. Now, Mrs. Balcombe was a drunk. She smelt of alcohol and urine. She lived next door to us. Now, we had a nice new maisonette, but her house was war damaged. It wasn't very nice. There were rats and all sorts of things that infested it. And she frightened the life out of me. She had one black tooth in the middle of her head, and she looked like a witch. And she frightened the life out of me. She really did. Now, I've got a law background, and I was still training then, but at least I could give her landlord a bad time. And Sue used to go in and wash her and give her some food and what have you. And now I'm hearing this voice, go and visit Mrs. Balcombe. And Humphrey was preaching, and our vicar didn't like anybody getting up when he was preaching. You would pee your pants rather than get up when Humphrey was preaching. Nobody, but I got up and I went. And it was only a couple hundred yards, knocked on the door. A lady came, one of her friends, and said, oh, yes, dearie. I said, my knees were knocking. I said, I've come to speak to Mrs. Balcombe about Jesus. Oh, that's lovely, dearie. Come on in. She's in bed. And I don't know how long it took me, probably 10 minutes, I don't know. And then I left and thought, what was all that about? Made me peace with Humphrey when I got back. I told Sue, and Sue said, look, don't worry, I'll go in the morning and I'll see how she is and just clean her up a bit. Sue went in. She was dead in bed. She was dead. I knew why I'd been baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Because see, in the scriptures, it's clear that being filled with the Spirit is mainly for one purpose, is that we are to be witnesses. Yeah. That means give credible evidence to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that all he promises will be fulfilled if we receive him is our Lord. And the Spirit came at Pentecost, didn't it? On that 120 in the upper room, the gospel was spoken afterwards, 3,000. Those first converts, people heard in their own tongues the wonderful works of God. Hey, God was coming to his new temple. God coming and filling his new temple. That other one is obsolete. Was obsolete. It's finished. There's a new temple. Spirit filled. Spirit empowered. But as you read through those early chapters, you know, we need to notice this. That, and I think this is where we as charismatics, we believe in the baptism and the Holy Spirit, but the scriptures goes on to say, so there is Peter giving evidence before the Sanhedrin, and it says, Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. And they think, hold on, you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. No. No, being filled with the Holy Spirit is to be a lifestyle. It's to be a daily occurrence. It is to be the air that we breathe. So even us as charismatics that want to say no to our evangelical friends, no, there is a second experience. No. There's so many encounters. We are to encounter. To encounter the Holy Spirit. And Paul, when he writes to the Ephesians, and the Ephesians was probably the pinnacle of his ministry. But he has to remind them 6 years later, don't get drunk on wine, because that leads to debauchery. But be filled. Keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's to be our lifestyle. It's to be air that we breathe. And we're not talking about a power that's like a worldly power. When God empowers, it's different. It's not controlling power. It's to do with love. It's to do with mercy. It's to do with compassion. And you know, often it works through weakness. I don't feel strong this morning. I just don't feel that. It comes often through weakness. And it's a power that's not there to make you and me look good. It's a power that comes to glorify Jesus. And John, when he's speaking of the Spirit, he says that, he says, you know, the Lord Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you. We've been appointed to bear fruit. And this is others. We bear witness to others. And they have that opportunity of coming to Jesus to bear fruit. Fruit that will be, that will remain. I have to say to you, and I'm not boasting now, because I was in a church recently for 3 weeks, and Trevor Payne had set it up, and I had to say to them, look, Trevor Payne thinks more highly of me than I think of myself, so I don't want you to be disappointed, because, you know, he built me up. Like, no, that's not me. That's not me. But I want to say this, hardly a day goes by when I don't share or pray with someone or lead them to Christ. I since that day with Mrs. Balcom, I've learned to live on divine appointments. And now, I know I haven't got a lot of time, so I can't share many with you this morning. But the other day I said to Sue, I must get out of, it's been cold down south as well as here. I said, so I've got to get out. Let's go over the golf course. She said, well, I'm not playing. I'll caddy for you. And we're over the golf course. And it was down to 60 yards visibility. So, and I can hit even at 82 now. I can still hit about 180 yards through the air. So, you know, you're having to hit it straight. And we did lose a few balls. I lost a few balls. But we're on one hole. And it's a hole. I hit a good one. In fact, I was hitting two. And I got one on the green and one just short of the green. But I didn't see it go on. But when I got there, there was this old fella with a dog. He's probably younger than me, but he was an old fella. And he's with a dog. Lovely spaniel, I think it was, or something. And but this came away from him and came to us. And he just said to us, don't come near me because I'm going through chemotherapy and I can't. So that's why I'm out on my own here. And I said, I'm a church minister. I said, I'd really like to pray with you. I didn't say for healing. I didn't feel that. I said, I want you to know the blessing of God. He said, but I'm not religious. I said, well, I'm not either. I hate religion. But I've got a personal relationship with Jesus. By this time, he's crying. And so he lets us pray, didn't he, Sue? Now, you might say, well, what happened? I don't know. It doesn't matter. We're his witnesses. Yeah. I can't save anybody or heal anybody in that sense. But I can bring people. Yeah. We just had a holiday away. Well, we were holiday. We had to get away because they were demolishing part of our flat to do some put a new kitchen in for us, and we went down to Spain. Every other day, we're meeting people. We're talking to them about Jesus. I give them my personal tract. I did this in 1990. I read it this morning. Blimey, enough good. I thought to myself, I didn't know. I wish I could capture some of this again. Folks, this is the way that we are to live. Because what I realised from that day and that incident with Mrs. Balcom, I realised God had given me a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and his promptings. And God has spoken to me more recently that the gift that I've got, I've got to give it away to anybody who is willing to receive. Wow, that makes me sound somewhat important, doesn't it? But I say that with fear and trepidation. So when I was at Ludlow Baptist Church for 3 weeks, very traditional, they still vote and all sorts of things, and they've never experienced much about the Holy Spirit at all. And I had 3 weeks with them, and the last meeting we were have, I've got to finish by 12, haven't I?
10-2.
Oh. Give us a break, and I didn't start till 12:30. You said half an hour.
That's the timer, see.
It says 14 minutes and 31 seconds. So I... Yeah, well, you... So anyway, I'm talking to a lady. She was lady, you know, it's real ladies. She looked, she was elegant. We had a lovely conversation. She told me that what she does, she goes and sits on a chair somewhere in the square, waits for someone to sit down. She talks to them about Jesus. She was telling me all this. Then I found out that she's totally deaf, but lip reads and can sign. So I said to her, I'm going to be praying for folks this morning to receive of the Spirit and this gift. Will you help me? She said, oh, no, I went to Evensong the other night. Now, I didn't ask her how she gets on with Evensong when she can't hear anything. But she told me this story about there was two people in the next pew just after they finished the meeting, and they were talking about Jesus. So she went over and talked to them about Jesus. I said, well, how did you know? She said, oh, well, they were signing, and I read their signing. I said, you've got a gift. She said, oh, no, I haven't got a gift. I said, you've got a gift from God. I want you to pray with me. Now, there must have been about 70 people there. That was a good number for them. The meeting was due to finish at 12, like ours is. But God came. And we finished at 2. They have never known what it is to encounter the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, if you want what God wants to give those of you that say, you know, I want, that's what I want, then I want you to come forward. I want to lay hands on you. And that's it. I have finished with 2:27 seconds. And I will be sending you a bill for that. Let's just pray. This is a holy moment. You see, the best preaching in the world is not going to save the world, I'm afraid. It's the disciples who was going out into the world. That's you and me. If you're really serious about, you know, Durham and the surrounds, it's people like you and me. Just in our daily lives, but have an anointing from God and have a humble faith. I love that this morning when we spoke about humility. Yeah. Now I know I've got something to impart. I'm a bit shy about this one because it's quite new to me. I wished I'd got hold of this a long time ago. But so if you feel, here, I want Ray to lay hands and pray for me. Just come.
Yeah, I just want to encourage you.
Oh my goodness!
If you're sitting there, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm coming out for.
This morning I was preparing, putting lunch in the slow cooker, and I found a tin of banana flowers. I have no idea what banana flowers are. I have no idea what to do with them. And I bottled out. I didn't put them in. But you could be sitting there today saying, I don't know what I'm coming out for. I don't know what I don't know what I'm calling out to God for. Come out anyway, because as you come out, you will meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So don't be like me and bottle out and not put banana flowers, whatever they are, in the dinner. Come out, try it. See what God will do with you, because he has an anointing for each and every one of us.
What I'm actually going to do is I'm going to lay my hands on every one of you. So the meeting may be a bit longer than 14 seconds. But this is a serious moment. Yeah, okay.